first to propose charter school in Beloit has residents debating over how to provide the best education for their kids and improve a struggling public school district. The Lincoln Academy Charter School is being funded by a group of local business leaders called the Beloit 200, led by billionaire CEO and major Republican Party donor Diane Hendricks. While some think it'll provide an important alternative for students currently in public schools, others worry about the impact it'll have on the district and a lack of accountability if the new school opens up. Ruth Conniff is editor-in-chief of the Wisconsin Examiner. She recently wrote a two-part story on the Lincoln Academy. Ruth, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, give us about the basics on the plans for this Lincoln Academy.
So the Lincoln Academy is a proposed charter school, and it is applying to the UW System's Office of Educational Opportunity to grant the charter. And between now and September, that office will decide whether or not to give final approval to the new school. Meanwhile, the school is already breaking ground on land owned by Hendricks Properties in Beloit. And, you know, the idea is to have this very beautiful, shiny, state-of-the-art school that will ultimately serve about 700 kids, kindergarten through high school, and will connect them with jobs. There's a big focus on careers, developing ideas about careers, doing internships at local employers. And I think what I found so fascinating about this story is that, I mean, first of all, Diane Hendricks, who is a huge force in Republican politics in Wisconsin, but really became known because in a documentary film, she was caught on film with Scott Walker, and he said he was going to divide and conquer the state. She was asking if we'll ever be a right-to-work state and what she could do to help. She's also a huge force in Beloit. She's a major philanthropist. She's basically remade the downtown. And her vision of the future for kids there is colliding with public school advocates in Beloit who are concerned that this school, as a publicly funded charter school, will take about 10%. In fact, it'll take 10% of the district's budget away when it's got all its kids over the next few years. And that it represents sort of the next step, as the city council vice president said, in divide and conquer, that she's out to destroy the public school system. So on the one hand, there's something really, there's sort of this big gift from a philanthropist who's done a lot for her hometown. And on the other hand, you know, you have this drama of politics in Wisconsin playing out in this town of 35,000 people. Was a major industrial hub, was a place where a lot of African-American people came during the Great Migration and worked in factories, all but two of which are now closed. There's a real question about what is the future for kids in our, you know, our increasingly manufacturing lean economy, in a place where there used to be middle class family supporting jobs in manufacturing. So what is the vision, and how do you do something about that? And is it a public project that involves the public school system, or is it a job for a philanthropist to do privately? And what does that mean for the community? So there's just a lot of interesting aspects to this story.
One thing that a lot of people you talked to agreed on, whether or not they agreed about this academy, was Beloit schools, they think, could do better. Can you set the scene for us with the district as it stands now?
So the Beloit school district has had a lot of struggles in recent years, and it really came to a head with the last superintendent. There's a new superintendent now, but Stanley Monroe, who was the former superintendent, resigned in the wake of multiple accusations against him of bullying and intimidating staff, and then later retaliating against people who complained about him. The school board got rid of him. And it's a high poverty, majority-minority school district. It serves a population that includes 71.5% economically disadvantaged students. It's also in Rock County, which has a huge number of kids, the most in the state, who have suffered early childhood trauma. So you have a school district that has a lot of challenges to meet and has had some struggles meeting them. The most recent Department of Public Instruction school report card showed that the overall grade for the school district meets few expectations. But on the other hand, you have a lot of interesting projects. I met a guy who's running a community garden near an elementary school that's right in the district where this new charter school is planned to go, and has been supplying the neighborhood with free organic food and having kids come. They're building an outdoor classroom. The Boys and Girls Club is involved. There's kind of a community spirit in Beloit and a lot of longtime Beloit residents who really feel that the district has been has gotten a black eye, and rightly so in some instances, but also because it has these challenges and it's serving these low-income kids, really needs more support, not a drain of resources.
Yeah, this is a debate that's gone on in Milwaukee first and then elsewhere around the country. If you've got a district that needs to improve, can you do it by having this charter that's sort of outside the normal operating procedure, and then that sets an example for the rest? Or do you need to work with what you've got? How do you see that argument playing out among the people you talk to in Beloit?
I think fundamentally the argument is this school, by serving 700 kids, going to further impoverish the rest of the 7,000 kids in the district who are not going to be able to go to this school even if they want to? Or is it going to offer an opportunity in a place where people have been feeling stuck, and, you know, God bless them, let them do that, and maybe some of their practices that they discover will be replicated? That's the idea of charter schools. They're supposed to be, their best practices are supposed to ultimately be replicated by the rest of the public schools. I mean, the problem is that, you know, the idea of scarcity here is that the resources that are coming out of the district, a lot of people argue the Hendricks Family Foundation, which is behind this project, has plenty of money and could run a private school without taking funds out of the district. So why not do it that way? And then the other big point of debate is that because the school is what's called a non-instrumentality charter, there's no accountability to the local school board. And as one school board member described it to me, it feels like they're making an end run by going to Madison and getting their charter approved here. And then, you know, meanwhile in Beloit, local people don't elect anybody who's going to oversee how the school does.
Yeah, who would be in charge of this school then if it's not the school board?
The UW Systems Office of Educational Opportunity. So they have, I mean, there's an interesting, and it's publicly available, the application and the responses from the UW system, where they say things like, you know, the discipline policy for this school as planned seems overly punitive. You know, it's not clear exactly what the day-to-day experience will be for kids. The curriculum needs to be further clarified. You know, it's, there's a lot of talk about how great it'll be to connect kids with careers from early on, but it's not clear exactly what the details are and how well the school will perform. So, you know, first of all, they have to answer those questions before they get approval in September. And then, you know, it'll be a question as they hire staff. You know, one of the objections to the school that was raised by a Beloit professor I interviewed was that it's really white business leaders who came up with this idea. And it appears to be, although they've made a commitment to diversity, a mostly white leadership team that's launched this whole thing. And they're talking about serving mostly minority kids. So there's a question that's raised in the application by the UW that says, you know, is this a culturally sensitive program? It looks like communication with parents is a one-way street. There's a lot of expectations being put on parents, but it's not clear that there's really a sense of connecting with people where they are and, you know, working with the community from a base of knowledge of that community. So all of that is going to become more clear as the school moves forward, as I think it likely will.
We'll watch for that decision coming up this fall. Ruth, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Ruth Conniff, editor-in-chief of the Wisconsin Examiner. She joined us to talk about a debate in Beloit over the proposed Lincoln Academy that would be a charter school funded in part by billionaire Diane Hendricks.